even if it's at home, it's the time that we choose to set aside to dinner together. And an interesting fact is that sometimes we have dinner for 3 hours because it's not just eating, but it's about connecting and talking through about our day, talking through about our challenges, or sometimes we'll just like show each other funny videos just to have a good laugh after a hard day as well.
Hello and welcome to the Connect to Marriage podcast. My name is Delia and I'm your host for this episode. If you are new to us, do subscribe to our Connect to podcast on your podcast platform. We believe you will discover interesting topics and helpful conversations. In each episode, we tackle questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, conflict, and so much more. We hope you will keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper, and stronger in your marriage. Today, we are diving into an important topic that resonates with many newly married couples: how to build strong, healthy habits early in your marriage. Adjusting to married life can be exciting and challenging. What are some habits and mindsets that can help newlyweds thrive together? I'm so excited to welcome Sean and Crystal today. They have been married for 2 years. Welcome, Sean and Crystal.
Hello.
Hello.
Could you share with our listeners more about yourselves?
Hey, hi everyone. I'm Crystal. I'm 30 this year and I work in a marketing agency.
And I'm Sean. I'm 29 this year. I work in regional B2B sales. So a lot of flying for me.
Okay, so I'm curious to know, you know, you've been married for 2 years. Tell us more about what you do together on your dates, how you spend time together, and has it changed from before marriage and after marriage?
Before marriage, when we go dating, usually we go out, we go to eat, we just walk around, hike, spend time together. But now after marriage and we have a physical space of our own, for me, I like to stay at home, watch Netflix, play games, just relax around. But for Crystal, then she likes to go out and do things, maybe eat at cafe or go hiking or go shopping. Similar to this difference, there were, I think, other differences we needed to navigate through since we got married in the last 2 years.
Tell us more, Crystal, when you realized that there was differing expectations of how a date could look like now as a married couple. How do you feel? How do you navigate the conversation?
I remember one of the days he told me, oh, we are cooking tonight together and that's a date. I was like, a bit confused. But I think that's just one of the many transitions we need to go through along the way. I decided that actually that's how we want to spend time together. So very early on in our relationship, he did say that it's not really about the activity that we do, but it's about the time we spend together. So I kind of remember that. And then I decided that, okay, it's the time that we spend together. So even if it's at home, it's the time that we choose to set aside to dinner together. And an interesting fact is that sometimes we have dinner for 3 hours because it's not just eating, but it's about connecting and talking through about our day, talking through about our challenges, or sometimes we'll just like show each other funny videos just to have a good laugh after a hard day as well.
I think that's really insightful because it's true that sometimes two people can be in the same household, sharing the same space, but may not be interacting in a meaningful way that brings deeper connections. So what you have just described actually reminds us that instead of just functioning from the day-to-day things that needs to be done, whether it's like having a meal or attending to the chores or cooking a meal just so that we can have a meal, it is actually something that can be done together such that it fosters intimacy between the two of you. Were there any other differences apart from your expectations about dates?
One of the differences that we faced was in the area of finances. So I think our perspective on finances were quite different. I think Sean tends to be slightly a bit more pessimistic, while I'm usually relatively positive when it comes to budgeting or handling our finances. But I think this difference stems from a place where I actually hope that our family could thrive in the future, but Sean was concerned about the financial security, so he wants to budget in a way that's more prudent and ensuring that, you know, our family will be able to be protected in times of crisis and all. But I think as we look back on this difference, we actually recognize and acknowledge that both of us have good intentions for the marriage. We actually meant well and we want our marriage to thrive, even though it might look different. But I think this helps us to remember that in a marriage, we are a team. And even though there's like little disagreements here and there, but we always assume that the other party wants the best for the marriage. So we have various times that we sat down to talk through and just share each other's perspective. Because he will budget a bit lower, right? While I budget a bit higher, then we try to, move a bit. And that really helps us, I think, understand each other and understand different point of view.
Really like what you said about how you trust each other's intent for the marriage and to recognize that both have a... The starting point is that you really want the good and the well-being of your marriage lah, and thinking ahead, right? Not just the now, planning for the future. I'm curious, right? Because I suppose you all attended marriage preparation and the topic of budgeting probably came up at marriage preparation. What do you think is the difference between discussing it before marriage and now actually rubber hits the road, you're actually figuring out, looking at the budget sheet concretely? What would you describe to be the difference pre-marriage and now doing it together?
Before marriage, although there are real expenses and big expenses like, you know, house or renovation or wedding, these are big expenses that we come together, we pull money together to make it happen. But after marriage, we are planning for our future together as one. So I think that is a bit different in a sense that before you were just paying bills, now we are trying to plan for the future. And I think there's some outlook that we need to have and certain conversation that we need to have based on our relationship and what we have hopes for the future together. That's one of the key differences that will chart the direction of our conversation.
So when you all were starting to share like your shared aspirations, thinking ahead, whether it's like 3 years or 5 years from now, what your shared goals are, how did you all navigate those discussions? Were there times where you felt that actually we had differing aspirations, or actually we had same aspirations but at the same time even the expectations of how we get there also differs?
Definitely. I think what helped is really have conversation. Of course, one of the things that we actually practice is we allow the other party to finish what they have to say first before we step into say like, oh no, I don't agree or whatever. But I think we always clarify like, oh, if I hear you correctly, is this what you're saying? Could you clarify like what you mean by this? That kind. So that helped us to go a bit deeper into what we are actually saying, to understand the intent and not just taking it at surface value or even just like dismiss each other away. So I think these conversations are still ongoing because we're only married for 2 years, but I think it helps us because as we have these conversations early on, it definitely helped to build how we navigate through these conversations now as well.
Yeah, that's wonderful, because it does sound like you are cultivating a habit of learning to ask clarifying questions in your conversations, and in that process, learning how to just see beyond the... I mean, usually when we are task mode, then we are like trying to think through the solutions. But actually, what you're suggesting and recommending, right, is thinking beyond the solutions. It's actually hearing the thought process behind it. And when you dig deeper, you would actually be able to align on that. And then how you get there, it can be discussed.
And I
think that's a great habit that you are cultivating. I'm also hearing you share that, you know, in terms of mindset, it's really recognizing that now that you are married, it is co-creating a shared future together, and also recognizing that on one hand, maybe Sean is a little bit more careful and calculated in making decisions, and that balances off, I guess, for yourself, right? Like how you would actually perceive a possible future could look like. And on one hand, it might seem as if, hey, you know, there's such a stark difference, but at the same time, it's a very beautiful thing to have both of you complementing each other, right? Because that actually gives you that synergy to really hear each other out, and then from there, build your family from there. Wanted to also find out from you, right? Like, were there any other mindsets that you feel that you needed to actually be very intentional to cultivate in your interaction?
The early years of marriage are filled with unique challenges and opportunities for growth. What happens after saying, I do? At the Connect to Just Married workshop, you will gain practical tools to work through differences and conflicts and learn ways to keep the romance alive. If you have been married for 5 years or less, this workshop is for you. Get more information at www.family.org.sg/C2JustMarried.
One of the main differences we also found when we started living together was the idea of space and tidiness. For Crystal, she grew up being used to having her own personal space, so her own room. But for me, I grew up with more siblings, so I kind of have a lack of personal space growing up. I just have one mattress to myself, and that's all I have in the room. Yeah, so I'm more concerned with the tidiness and neatness and where you put your things. After 2 years of living together, to be honest, it still irks me sometimes when things are not in their rightful place, or in inverted commas, right? But instead of nagging or complaining, I think that if we do that, that will constantly take a toll on our relationship over time. Rather, I will ask myself, you know, whether this is really that important. Is it more important than our relationship? And because it's not, then I will be more inclined to feedback gently and help to tidy the house myself. One of the mindset that we try to have is to weigh for ourselves whether the issue we are bringing up and the issue that we want that may potentially cause conflict, whether is it more important than the health of our relationship and our marriage. And if it's not, then I think we will be quite careful at the way we communicate, because we know that this is not the most important thing in the world, but rather our marriage is more important.
Many tips on how to feedback gently.
Many. So one of the things that we actually do is we'll, like what Sean mentioned, he will tell me gently. So it isn't like how maybe in the past my father would ask me to pack my room kind of statement, right? But he will say something like, remember to put your things back. Something like that. Yeah, then I will get the hint, right? So okay, I need to pack. Yeah, so one of the things that I used to always joke about is because he mentioned that he travels for work, right? So on the day before he comes back, I will just quickly pack the room, pack the whole house to ensure that it's neat. When he comes home, he is coming back to a place that's neat. That also stems from a point where I understand how much this means to him and how important it is, lah. Because for example, if he just have like long business travels and then he come home to a house that's messy, and that will really irk him. So I kind of know what are some of his triggers, and I'll try to pack it. Or one of the things that I try to do is I'll tell him I will pack that later, so he has some indication that that will not be there and it will be kind of put back to where it's supposed to be.
Another way we do it is that maybe for more sensitive issues, we tend to preempt the person before we bring up the issue. So because some of these conversations, let's say maybe it's about finance or other very important things, then sometimes these conversations will take a long time, maybe one sitting and maybe quite a few hours of talking. The topic can be quite heavy sometimes. We will set a time, or we will preempt the person and say, oh, by the way, can we talk about this issue, if you're okay now, if not, maybe we can find a time, right? And I think that helps to set the person up mentally and emotionally as well, to prepare themselves for the conversation. This will really help to
protect the relationship, because it's not like you suddenly attack the person, yeah, that kind, and the other party wouldn't feel like suddenly you feel attacked or something. Like for example, if I'm cooking halfway, then he suddenly asks me like pack my things, like why, from what I'm doing something. Or like for example, if he's playing his games and all that, then I suddenly like tell him something that kind of like put us in a space where we can focus on that particular topic that we want to talk about. And if it's important enough, then we will set aside that time, we will clear our schedules to talk about that.
And I'm just wondering a lot, right, like in the lead up to those scheduled times of having the discussion, has any one of you ever felt like, wow, I'm actually really not ready for this, but we have really set aside this time to talk about this topic and I have to show up?
Not exactly, because I think we give enough buffer time to prep ourselves mentally.
And I think, of course, if either party is not ready, then there's no real issue in extending the time, right? It's probably better and more valuable to have a good conversation with people who are prepared than we just rush into it and we are not prepared and end up maybe there could be a toll on our relationship and stuff like that.
I'm also just thinking like how, if anyone who is listening might feel that way in the lead up to a potentially so-called difficult conversation, right, on a topic that they know that is a bit more sensitive or might make them feel uncomfortable, it could also be recognizing that both parties are coming in with good intent, yeah, and that we have sufficiently regulated our own emotions with regards to this topic, and then also feeling safe enough to call a timeout if needed. In midway through the conversation, we still need like more time to then continue processing. I just wanted to hear from you as well. Like, some couples might be feeling discouraged in their marriage journey. Is there anything that you would like to share with them from your own experience?
Just now we talk a lot about like the differences and how we bring out some of the things, right? I think on our end, what we tend to do is we try to observe and then celebrate the work and the effort that your spouse put in. Yeah, so I think that really helps, like, because the truth is that our marriage is a lifetime, so it's very long and we are constantly adjusting to the different phase of life. So it's key that when we see the other party put in effort to kind of make small adjustments, to make tweaks, we will encourage and we will say like, oh, thank you for doing this. Like, you try to not just say your piece, but you also kind of affirm the person when the person do their part and all. And I think that really helps us a lot because it reinforces what is important to each other, reinforces like, oh, we need to be mindful that this is important to that person. And as I do it, I feel celebrated as well. And I don't feel like it's a chore to do it.
I think for me, it's about always keeping an open heart and open mind. What I mean by that, by terms of open heart, is about giving grace and about seeking understanding instead of rushing into conclusions. I think that's one. And open mind is about how when each spouse is sharing their point of view, it's for us to keep an open mind to listen and be open to accept what they are saying as being right. Because a lot of times we like to insist that we are correct and the other person is wrong, which really doesn't help the marriage. I think as we do this, then this is really one of the ways that we will build a very healthy marriage where both people feel heard and supported.
What I'm hearing both of you share is that to consider the needs and the perspective of the other party, to a certain extent above ourselves, yeah, because actually recognizing that their views are valid and also we want them to be acknowledged even as they share. So every episode, we actually address a frequently asked question that couples have about marriage. And today's question comes from a newlywed who asked, "We are newly married and want to start off on the right foot, but we realize that we are very busy and our schedules are so different, and sometimes we struggle to stay connected. What are some practical habits that you can share with us to stay emotionally connected?"
So for Sean, he travels quite frequently for work, right? And sometimes these travels are about like a week, and that kind of reduces the time we have with each other. But I think one of the ways that we stay connected is to ensure that we make time to have dinner or have a conversation together before he flies and also after he comes back. He always has many interesting stories to share with me. So I'm always very excited when he's back and yeah, I can hear from him. And of course, then I can also share with him how my week has been. I think this gesture has really helped us to stay connected emotionally, even though we may seem to live different life in different part of the world for that 1 week. And of course, during the time of his travels, we always try to stay connected. One of the things that we do is to text each other. I think it's quite tiring for him when he's on like business trips and all, but I think I always appreciate when he will just show me some sceneries or he will just tell me like what he's doing and all that. I think that really helped us to stay connected and also update each other like about our daily life. And not that it takes a lot out of him to do it, but because sometimes when he's traveling and he's like tired and all that, but I appreciate the gesture that he still make the effort to just update me on like how he is and all.
And to know that he's thinking about you in that moment when you reach out to stay connected. How about you, Sean?
One of the small but powerful things we try to continue doing is to say please and thank you. I think this is something that if we get too familiar with each other, it's quite easy to drop. And why we try to do this is because we don't want to become familiar to the point where we take things for granted. Of course, we are familiar with each other, but we don't want to lose that appreciation that we receive from each other as well. You know, whenever, let's say, one person cooks the dinner and then the other person, you know, gets to eat and then wash the dishes, let's say, then we will always say, thank you for cooking. And the other person will say, thank you for washing, right? So simple things, but I think they are important. That helps us to remain emotionally connected because we don't forget to appreciate and the other person feels appreciated. That helps our marriage quite a bit.
Like always remembering that when you are married together, it's the process of still learning to build each other up with your words, and also the actions that you do is meant to show your care for one another. Thank you so much, Sean and Crystal, for sharing your experiences with us. Before you go, would you have any words that you want to share with our listeners?
I think to sum it all up, what we have been sharing, it's really to always try to outgive your spouse. like don't keep score. So like for example, it won't be like, oh, this week I cook like 3 times. Why you only wash dish like 1 time, that kind? No, we really don't do such things, because when we get into that zone of being like keeping scores and be calculative with each other of like who is doing what, right, we'll never reach a happy marriage, because it's always we're trying to like match up. But I think if we have the attitude of we want to outgive our spouse, this is our way of loving our spouse, then the marriage will thrive. The marriage will be healthy, because we don't just look out for ourselves, but we also look out for our spouse.
Lastly from me is always try to love your spouse more than yourself. It's quite simple, because if both spouse manage to do this, then both spouse will feel loved. I think it's one of the blueprint to a loving marriage.
Wow, that's so inspiring. Thank you so much for sharing that. In each podcast, we end off with a couple challenge for couples to try together. And here's your challenge. Take 5 minutes to write down one small daily habit you would like to build together as a couple, such as a morning greeting, a peck on the cheek, sharing a meal, or a nightly check-in. Share your idea with each other and pick one to try out for the week. At the end of the week, chat about how it went and how it made you feel as newlyweds. We would love to hear how this challenge went for you. That's all we have for now, and we hope that you found today's episode helpful and encouraging. Do share this podcast with a friend who might also benefit from it. The early years of marriage are filled with unique challenges and opportunities for growth. Hence, Focus on the Family has specially designed Connect to Just Married, a workshop to equip couples married for 5 years or less with practical tools to build a thriving marriage. So for more marriage resources, please check our website at www.family.org.sg. Thank you for tuning in, and remember, building good habits early isn't about perfection, it's about being intentional, patient, and committed to growing together.